Thank you. a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And welcome back to another Thursday of fun, mayhem, and sexual tension in the 205 studio, coming to you live from the Atlantic seaboard. It is 3:36. I'm in the studio with South Africa's Survivor host, Mark Bailey. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, good to be here, sir.
I finally managed to pry Mark away from Caprice and Camps Bay. I must say, I think he's the only other person I know who might be seen there as much as I am. When last were you there, Mark?
Sunday. It's actually been a very, very slow week for me.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I've had very rare work commitments which have kept me away from my local hangout. So.
Yeah, you said that you've got a shoot going on. Something's happening on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, I'm shooting a Mars bar commercial. Unfortunately, not the X-rated version, but just a normal one. So we'll be screaming through the streets of Cape Town on Friday and Saturday. I believe we're going to be using the cut-off freeway, skidding to a halt on that. So, yeah, promises to be exciting. I hope there's danger pay involved, but we'll see.
That sounds very exciting. Now, Mars Bar, although you can find it at the likes of Carlucci's and the rest of it, it's not really a suite that we have on the shelves yet. So where's the ad being used?
Several Eastern Bloc countries that are difficult to pronounce. There's Estonia, Latvia, and a few other strange odd countries. So hence the pay is dismal.
But there's a good chance that the girls from Mavericks should see the ad.
Look, I hope so. I hope so. I always want the girls from Mavericks to see what we do.
Yes, as we do enjoy seeing what they do. Today's list of music is a compilation by Mark. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, when you get invited to Great Seth's presence in his incredible studio overlooking the Atlantic seaboard.
Well, it's a lifestyle more than a studio.
It is indeed, and I applaud you for it. You get asked to choose 10 songs, I think 10 favorite songs. So I decided the 10 favorite songs would just send me into a tailspin trying to come up with them. So I decided rather to concentrate on first year varsity, which is an incredible year for most of us. It's the first time some of us have serious relationships, which was true for me. But also 1990, which was my first year at university, was a seminal year for me. And that did include a lot of... Yeah. And it was actually a phenomenal year for music. When I started looking at what the songs were, that were number ones in that year. There's a bit of a trip down memory lane, but there were some good hits. So.
Yeah, it's a mind fact. When I started to run through them earlier on, had these flashbacks of the Naughties car park and all sorts of things, Angela Parr and the rest of them. We'll be taking a music break soon, and then we'll start to get into Mark Bailey and all
sorts of things. Well, you're not going to get into me. I brought champagne, but that doesn't mean you're getting
Mark,
action.
Mark brought some champagne, which we will also be talking about, as well as other booze, including port. And we'll run through Mark's vibe. Mark, there's a lot to ask you. Do you think that you are slightly misunderstood? Do you think there's a want for you to express the real you to the public?
Well, that's getting heavy straight off the bat.
It's quite heavy.
I think
you should have just broken for a song there. But before we do, there's one thing that generally comes up, and that's your voice. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, KFM, not to plug a station, but KFM just did the fugitive competition recently, and they actually got a normal guy who sounded normal to speak through the muffler of a 1968 Volkswagen Beetle, and his voice came out on the other side sounding like mine. So every single day that I was out in restaurants and wherever else, I had people come up and asking me if I was the fugitive.
Are you a fugitive?
Which was great fun. But yeah, I get, you know, I get stick. People think that my voice is terrible. Some people really like it. I had one rather voluptuous woman at Varsity come up to me and say that she'd shag me if I didn't stop talking the whole time. So I figured that was a favorable response to my voice. But yeah, you know, some people dig it. A lot of people don't.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Before we go to music break, could you repeat after me? This is CNN.
Is CNN.
Beautiful. Catch you guys after this. It's a 2H The Vibe Show. It's 3:40 and this is Black Box with Right On Time. Thanks for still being there with us. If you've just joined us, we're live in the studio at the 200th Vibe Show with, that's very naughty because that's actually for later on, with Mark Bailey, Survivor host, South Africa. Mark, are you going to do a third year this year? What's the story?
When Mnet deigns to tell me what my future is, I don't think there's any idea yet whether we're going to do one this year. Because I haven't heard anything yet, I'm assuming that we're not going to do one this year. But if anybody from Mnet is listening, so an update would be great. Thank you.
What's the story? Have they actually started to find people for the next show?
No. There's been absolutely no communication to me whatsoever about a third season. So, yeah, I'm completely in the dark. So I'm just carrying on and planning the rest of my year by myself, assuming it's not going to happen.
No, God only knows, as they say.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier on about the KFM Fugitive, and funny thing happened to me. I was going to lunch in Mully Point or something, and I was driving along Sea Point Beach Road, and this chap was on a deck chair and is reading the Cape Times, God knows why, and there were all these road cones around him, and he was seated on the side of the pavement, of the promenade, and there were these beach cones around him, and I drove past, and I drove on, and I was quite late for the meeting, and I got to the circle in Greenpoint, and I thought, fuck it, it's got to be the Fugitives, this guy is sitting there. So I drove around the circle, I shot back at high speed, I went around again past him, and I slowed down next to him, and I wound the window down, and I said, are you the Fugitive? Because I think it was on like 19,000 rand that you can win, and all you have to do is say to the guy, are you the Fugitive? I said, are you the Fugitive? And he goes, no, but you're not the first guy to ask me. I mean, how many people must have asked him? He's on the side of the road, road cones around him. Obviously, he was waiting for some shoot or something to get going. Mark, I haven't seen you with your kayak for a while in Camps Bay. Has that slowed down a bit? Are you doing a lot of that?
Yeah, I used to surf ski a lot, and a very good friend of mine, Billy Harker, started the Sunday Surf Ski Series, and in the first couple of years, I was an absolute regular. Make no mistake, I think it's one of the greatest pastimes, especially in Cape Town, having such a beautiful coastline. The downside is I sold my car when I was in a proper job, which I could afford, and I'm now driving a very old 1982 Golf convertible. Which
fantastic car, I must say. If you ever see you, you have seen the car. It's what is the color? How do you?
Sort of
salmon.
Rust maroon.
Rust maroon original convertible Golf, and you've seen it around. The roof is always down. When last did you have the roof up?
You know what? You know, I told myself when I bought it, I said, if you're going to have a convertible, if it's not raining, the roof must be down. So the Southeaster ends, you know, end up with some very interesting hairdos. But I love the car. It is absolutely fantastic. The only problem is it's a convertible, which means there are no roof racks. Yeah. So if you are going to go,
how do you do the kayak thing?
It's got a roll bar, and then I put a bike rack thing on the back and like jury-rigged support and... if the weather conditions are absolutely perfect, I can put my surf ski on it. But because of that, it sort of put a bit of a kibosh on my paddling excursion. So I'm spending a hell of a lot more time trail running on the mountain, which I absolutely love as well. You know, the thing is, I exit my...
Where do you go?
According to the writers of The Big Lebowski, you should always refer to where you live as a bungalow, whether it's an apartment or a house or a mansion. So I exit my bungalow, and I go two roads to the left, two roads up, and I'm on the mountain. And I go up Lion's Head probably 3-4 times a week, and it's just a total escape. And we're so close to such beauty in Cape Town. Sorry to all those of you who are listening from other parts of the world or further north. Losers, but so, yeah, we've got such a gift with our terrain around Cape Town, so
you,
take advantage of it.
And you said earlier on that living here, it might be beautiful, but you do when you do mountain hikes, etc., you are in danger of being mugged. But you said,
you know what? It keeps you alive. It's that sense of survival, and I'm not talking about survivor because it gets
there. He goes again.
No, it gets a bit trite talking about that. But you know what? You can go to other countries that are safe, and I'm not being glib because I know that there are some people...
Trite, glib, marks on fire, yeah?
Well, I am sitting with Seth, so you've got to pull out the thesaurus here. But there is something about taking a walk on the mountain and wondering if you're going to come down in one piece that adds a little verve to the occasion. So yeah, I've got a nice cell phone that I leave at home, and I take up the cheapest piece of crap that I could get on the mountain.
It. And take it from me. It's yours.
Yeah, just, please.
Can you just phone my wife beforehand? Yeah. Just before we move on too far, I just want to read out the phone number. You can send text messages to Mark or me, anything that you want to say or ask. The winner will win. There's all sorts of things you can win. I can pretty much get you what you want. You want 15 free pizzas from Butler's Pizza, I can organize that. You want a year subscription to Golf Punk magazine, I can do that. And I can even get you one entry per weekly lottery to the Play Euro Millions lottery. Did you enter the last one, Mark, where it was 1.8 billion rand it was up for grabs?
You know, I'm going to wait until it's an amount worth winning.
I mean, at least make it US dollars. Can you imagine the one in Zim, like you can win 4 million.
Is it true that Mugabe won the first lotto in Zimbabwe?
Everyone says it. I don't know. Yeah. That sounds a bit radical. I mean, would he go that far?
I wouldn't put it past him.
We were just actually talking about how Mugabe took Hitler's look. And I said, do you think when Hitler was a child, do you think his parents said to him, you know that you are actually a brand and you must work that? And I think he did bloody well. The phone number to send text messages to is +279. So let's do that again. +27 76 907 3679. I'll say it again. Have you got a pen now? It is 076 907 3679. And on Skype, our call sign is The Two Oceans Vibe Show. Send in a call anytime you want, and we'll stop the show for you, and we'll let you win something. That's right. What I just said was, if you send in a phone call on Skype with voice and sound, we'll make sure that you win one entry into every lottery for the next year. That's how crazy it is here. There's no other ways to get hold of us, I don't think. No. You were talking about Verve earlier, which made me think about the Bollinger. I must just report that Mark Bailey has done very well. He's brought us a bottle of Bollinger champagne from the region. You can always tell the quality of sparkling wine and champagne by the size of the actual bubbles in the champagne, which are referred to as the mousse. Bollinger, as you can see, very small mousse inside there. But J.C. LaRue's got bubbles the size of houseboats. And that is why we don't have it here. But there's all sorts of things that we will be drinking, including some vodka that I had sent by the Playground magazine fellows. And I'm just trying to calculate everything here in my head. The next song that we've got here is Mary Had a Little Boy by Snap. Mark, is that you outside the socials at school? No, that was in your first year.
First year of varsity. Very nice.
Catch you after this. It's 3:52. It's about 35 degrees outside, Mark.
Own it, baby. Own it.
Own it.
Stand tall, courage don't fall. To her smoothly I approach, try to speak on some romantic music. We could talk and express our inner thoughts. How about it? What do you think? End this statement with a wink.
Warren?
Hello.
How are you?
Yes. Very well, and you?
Very well. Where are you phoning from?
I'm from Cape Town.
Oh, very nice. Whereabouts exactly?
Century City.
Century City, very nice. You guys have that long wall next to the highway, don't you?
Yes, we have that big wall and lots of water in the middle.
Very nice. What do you do for a living, Warren? Yes. Warren Lessing, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very good, thank you. Work for an advertising agency.
Called who? Do they have a name, Warren? Who do you work for?
Stick with us, Warren.
Stay with us, Warren. We can hear you. We know you're there. What kind of a game is Warren playing?
He's worried about mentioning the name of his company.
Well, he's gone now.
Here she comes. Should I talk to her now? Yes, it's now or never.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
Right, so we're back after that awesome little tune, which was Mary Had a Little Boy by Snap. What is the other tune that they did, Mark? Snap.
The Cult of Snap.
I Got the Power.
Yeah.
Awesome. During the song, we had a phone call, and then I remembered that we do need to make a few rules. We'll take any phone call as long as it's not during a song. That's a new rule that we've just released. So any of you out there, like, run about now is absolutely fine if you want to throw in a phone call.
And we'd also prefer it if they weren't mime artists.
Yeah. You got to actually.
Warren
talk.
Did a great intro telling us who he was, and then. I don't know, he started miming.
Yeah, it was very odd, Warren. You were so weird back there.
We don't have subtitles on this show.
No.
That'll be...
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm back on with you.
Warren is back on the line. How are you, sir?
Jeez, you can't kill some guys.
I'm the immortal.
Warren, phoning from Century City. Warren, do you have any questions for Mark Bailey or the show?
Yeah, I just wanted to be fun at how he puts up the lifestyle.
What's that?
I just wanted to find out how Mark puts up with the very rough lifestyle and the married life.
Very rough lifestyle of the marriage life. I tell you what, being married is a hell of a lot easier than going out and trying to ply your way with Rohypnol and stuff in clubs. It's a lot cheaper as well. But no, I'll tell you what, marriage life is actually fantastic. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I've only been in it since November, but so far so good.
So far so good. In fact, I was saying earlier on that I heard a guy once said that we were referring to the Carte Blanche show on Sunday night where they were talking about orgasms and sex, and they had Mara from Idols there. And then I said, why don't they speak about masturbation? Because if the aim is to get an orgasm, why do you have to worry about having actual sex with someone? And I remembered someone said to me the other day that masturbation... Mark, how does it go?
Well, I'm not sure which one, but Woody Allen said that masturbation is sex with someone you love. So, I mean, that's...
No, someone said, when does the masturbation...
Oh, when does a married man stop masturbating? On the day he gets divorced.
Nice one. Warren, are you a married man?
No, I'm not.
You're not. You said earlier on during the song that you work for an ad agency. Which one is that?
Yes. Yeah, I work for Grey South Africa.
Grey South Africa.
On a tobacco brand, yes.
Is that a national company? I'm only teasing. South Africa,
Cape Town and
worldwide
offices.
Nice one. We're in Century City right now. What's the vibe there? What do you do in the day there at Century City besides shop?
Pretty chilled, laid back, actually sitting staring at the wildlife right now in the middle of the undeveloped area. So you're very laid back, very chilled and relaxed.
Now, Warren, my wife works in advertising, and she goes into work at about 6:30 in the morning and comes home at about 8 o'clock at night. So I used to know the woman that I'm married to.
Yeah.
How the hell can you spend time phoning us and chatting? Shouldn't you be working on deadlines?
Well, it's the wonders of online communication.
Nice one, Warren. Exactly.
Are you multitasking? Well, what project are you working on at the moment?
I'm a guy. Of course I can multitask.
Nice one. What are you working on at the moment? What campaign?
A couple of campaigns. International Maritime Ministry, not just working on South Africa, working on Africa.
Nice one. Warren, we're going to leave you now. You've just won yourself one entry per week into the Euro Millions Lottery. All you have to do is email me to that effect and I'll sort you out. Thanks for joining us, my boy.
Awesome.
Cheers, Warren.
Ciao. Beautiful. Someone sent in a thing here saying, as a married man, the wank in the morning shower is the highlight of my day. In fact, when it rains, I get a throbber. Okay, throbber. Good one. Yeah. Nice one, Hawk. Good.
Somebody's been watching American Beauty.
Yeah. American Beauty, that was a fine movie. Yeah. I found
That started with Kevin Spacey jerking off in the shower. It might have something to do with the fact that the guy's actually gay in real life and he didn't really like his wife.
Speaking of which, I said to you earlier on, the guy that they're using in all these sort of like Mavericks ads with the chicks.
Do you want to go there?
No.
Is he local?
Where? To Mavericks. I don't know if I actually want to go there. You're actually right, because
listeners.
Because the heavy's involved there.
Dear listeners. Seth actually told me earlier on that he has decided not to drink when he's doing broadcasts because he ends up saying things that he possibly shouldn't, and I think he almost went there. So moving right along.
Yeah, basically it was something that I heard the
moving
other day,
along.
And someone
moving,
said to me,
right, moving.
I won't say it. Somebody said to me, you should write about that. And I said, I don't know. There's some pretty heavy guys out there. And here I'm about to say it live on air. So moving right along. I've got a little fact sheet on Mark Bailey that you can find yourself on the so-called internet. Let's just run through a few things. Mark and I realized that we were both born in the same hospital, Vincent Pilotti, and you were head boy of Cape Town High School.
I was the only one who didn't have a criminal record, so it was a bit of a doozy getting that nomination.
Yeah. Doozy. Good one. And do you think that helped you with the survivor stuff, having to scold them the whole time? Did you find yourself scolding a lot?
You know, I didn't. I actually, if anything, I had a bit of empathy for the guys. It really is, and I'm not going to get into the whole survivor thing because I think there's a hell of a lot more to me than just survivor, and that's why I'm here, to try and plug myself as hard and as fast as possible. But seriously...
I've got 2 hours, it's fine.
Yeah, okay, I'll slow down. The guys really do suffer when they're out there, and it's not easy at all. So, yeah, I do feel for them.
How do they feel? I mean, like, how do they sleep? It's one thing trying to sleep with like a rat running around or like things trying to eat you, but there's a film crew filming you while you're sleeping. How do you sleep if you've got rats, etc., and then a film crew? When they do those sort of night shots, I mean, is it just one guy or you would assume it's like three?
You know, the Yanks have the kind of budget to have five cameras per island, and we had one per island. So if the cameraman stays awake, we get night shots. And the guys, you know, they work like Trojans. If anybody should win a million at the end of it, it should be somebody in the crew. But, yeah, I mean, I went for a run in the mountain yesterday, and about 20 minutes into it, I was near the top of Lion's Head, and suddenly I realized that I hadn't sort of responded to my morning coffee knock, and suddenly I was in desperate need of a toilet. And I was starting to think, you know, looking around at the bush and thinking, what would I use? What leaves would be appropriate? And, the fern bush doesn't really help because they're tiny leaves. But those guys have to wipe their butts with leaves for a month, the guys who win, the guys who get there to the end. I mean, that's not easy.
Yeah, but you see, I got another sort of vibe about that. I mean, I used to, my house up the road, the
master
bedroom.
Again, are you sure you want to share this?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely okay. Fine. My house up the road has a bidet in the master bedroom, and one starts to get used to just doing one wipe and then fucking cleaning it off absolutely perfectly. I'd be more than fine there on the island. I'd just hop in the sea and give it a good wash, surely. Why do you have to subject yourself to prickly pears and the like?
Yeah, no, good point.
For next season.
I thought there was a bit of an odor in the studio, but
no, in fact, there is none because it's fucking squeaky clean. Don't be shy to
you. It's definitely squeaky.
And if you can't find a bidet, no one sees you inside there. Just lift yourself up over the basin. That's what I believe you
can. Am I the only one who has nightmares about sitting in a toilet and suddenly there are people walking around? Have you ever had that?
No, but I had a PA, the one that left now, the PA, because the bathroom's near my office, she used to close the bathroom door and my door because she couldn't wee.
And turn on music and whistle.
Yeah, if she heard me typing, she could not actually perform. But you're saying that yours is, you're scared that
I have this recurring dream that you're on the toilet and suddenly there are no walls around it and there are people walking around everywhere. And you're just like, oh my God.
But that's a dream that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of those like... I arrive at school and then I realize I've got no fucking clothes on. It's like,
what is it with that?
I know. What is? Have you had that one as well? At school,
I mean,
it's like,
are all privileged children abused and we just don't know it?
God knows. I think if you really are like a privileged child, you should have been abused at least slightly.
Well, on that subject,
it's part and parcel.
Talking about privileged children, I'd like my friend Stuart Slater to call in and tell us if he has any strange nightmares. Stuart.
Looking out for Stuart. Moving on here, Mark. Started working in several restaurants and managing a hotel in Bantry Bay. Which hotel?
My dad actually was the sort of started up with a very big financial backer, Element House in Bantry Bay.
Yes, Harris.
Yeah, Paul Harris. Yeah. And I worked there on and off for a period of almost sort of 11 years. My dad was there for 15. But I worked and then traveled and worked there and traveled and it was always a safe job to come back to. So, but the most phenomenal establishment.
It suits you, Mark. It's so perfect.
Doesn't
for you.
It? You know,
Element House.
You know, I'm all about hosting. You know, I started when you're a waiter, basically you're hosting the people that are sitting at your tables if you're a good waiter.
Blues.
Yeah, I worked at Blues. Who didn't work at Blues? I mean, when I worked at Blues,
Graham Murray, he was only a barman. Yeah.
The barman used to Paul Goddard. The barman used to pick up all the women. We aspired to be barmen.
Yeah.
It's just we made more money than that.
Yeah.
But I worked there and a few other establishments. Then got involved in the hotel industry, which is hosting. Then I started my own tour company, which was hosting. Then I got involved with an online gambling company, traveled the world hosting high rollers, and then I host a TV show. So,
well, that's where Richard Harding
Forward Slash.
There you go. It's
I mean, who hasn't worked at Forward Slash? But
who hasn't worked with Hardiman?
We in the division that we ran, we got to do some amazing stuff. I mean, I don't know if you want to get into that kind of stuff now, but I've been to the Monaco Grand Prix a couple of times hosting high rollers. Vegas, I've probably been to about 12 times. Flew to the Playboy Mansion. Flew from.
Yes, this is what I actually wrote down. Mark Bailey has been to a Playboy Mansion party. Tell me about that.
Flew from Cape Town to LA.
But did you meet Hef?
You know what? That's the biggest regret. I didn't get to meet Hef. But if seeing a few women walking around only wearing body paint is a substitute for seeing Hef, It's touch and go. I mean, Hugh is an icon, and there are always going to be painted women. So that was a little disappointing. But yeah, flew all the way to LA, went to a party at the Playboy Mansion, and flew back the next day. So
when you watch the show, Girls of the Playboy Mansion, do you see sort of things and you're like, oh yes, of course.
I walked through the grotto. I was by the pool, the place where they always set up that big slip and slide. Walked down there, played with the parrot. I mean, it definitely brings back memories.
Played with a parrot, figuratively speaking. Who's your favourite Playboy girl of the Playboy Mansion?
Of the three?
Yeah.
You know, it's actually a tough call. I find Kendra, the one, her laugh would just do me in. I mean, I couldn't spend more than 20 minutes in her company.
Not the sharpest chick, but
not the sharpest,
great
laugh. Probably the best body out of the three, but I just couldn't deal with the attitude.
If you had to live with one, who would you live with? Hef's chick or the one in the middle?
Probably Hef's chick, because the one in the
middle...
So
again, Holly Madison.
That's Hef's chick, yeah.
She's cool.
You know what? I really wouldn't choose any of them. They show the cyber girl, the girls who win like the cyber playmates and stuff like that, and they're often preferable. But you know what? It's an entertaining show. I actually really...
It's great.
I really enjoy it.
I used to hate it purely because I hadn't actually watched, and I was seeing a chick who basically modeled herself on Holly Madison, Amanda Pottercary, and I started to watch it more, and it's
actually... I'll tell you what, this grey goose on ice and a slice of orange is loosening your lips to the point where you are going to sink ship, so I think you need to rein it in slightly.
No, that man is cool, it'll be fine, but I must say that when I went to visit my, the chick who does my star signs, my, hold on a second. I went to visit Val
Paul. The chick who does your star signs.
Yeah, who's known as an astrologer. Her name is Val Paul, and I've been seeing her.
How's that working out for you?
No, very well, thank you very much. And I told her about the radio station and stuff, and I said, should I go ahead with this? She goes, definitely, it's going to work out very well. And then she just said, I can see you saying stuff that you shouldn't say. Just be very careful.
I think sobriety is a very important part of broadcasting.
What I've always said
something
about
you're
that.
Ignoring completely today.
Exactly, but I think it's fine. It's amazing. All we've had is like a bottle of champers and
bottle of champers, half a bottle of Grey Goose, and we're about to move on to port.
By
the end of the show, it should be really interesting.
It should be loads of fun. At the moment, we're drinking Grey Goose, which was sent to me by the guys who own Playground magazine, which you might have seen. It's all about clubs and nightlife in Cape Town. And they also feature a Two Oceans Vibe story in each.
I'm just wondering how you got this poster-sized picture of Paris Hilton saying, "Dear Seth, it was the best night I ever had. Love, Paris."
Well, how do you think?
What's the backstory?
It's what we call a backstroke, and I did it very well.
Nice.
Shame, you know, I really feel for her. But let's just actually tighten up.
If you
a
wouldn't mind
bit.
Stopping feeling for her whilst I'm in the studio, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's falling apart ever so slightly. It is 4:13. Send in some calls and send some text messages, and you can win all sorts of shit. Jesus.
Just lovely and delicious. I couldn't ask for another. torso. Heart got a deal you wanna know. Delightful, truly delightful. Making it, doing it, especially at a show. Feeling kinda high like a Hendrix haze. Music makes motion moves like a maze. All inside of me, heart especially. Hilt of a rhythm, where I wanna be. Blowing, glowing with electric eyes. You dip to the dive, baby, you'll realize. Baby, you'll see the funk inside of me. Baby, you'll see that rhythm is a key. Hit, get witty, witty, can't think quitty, quitty. Stomp on a stoop when I hear a funk group. Play a pop pipe, follow her to shoot. Baby, just sing about the groove.
The groove is in the heart. Groove is in the heart. Groove is in the heart. Groove is in the heart.
One, two, three.
You gave me an empty pen, you realize that?
Microphones are on. Mark Bailey's pen is empty. Really, is it empty?
Look.
Okay, can it write there?
It's like your pencil's got no lead.
Can you open the cupboard there? And just see if there's a pen there while I entertain the listeners. With Whoa. My sharp wit, is there a pen? There we go, we're laughing. Mark Bailey's back with a pen. We just had lunch at La Perla.
We know how important that is.
What a pen.
Yeah.
Or lunch.
With ink. Lunch as well. Lunch is very important.
Lunch was very funny. I waited there for...
Can you imagine having a real job?
No.
That must
I
suck.
I can't. I know, can
that
you imagine?
That must suck so hard. How are you doing, Stu?
Stu, that actually reminds me, just to remember to tell you, that the number to send in text messages, so far someone's already won one entry per week into the Play Euro Millions lottery. There are way more prizes. If you want, send in a text question or Skype, phone us. The text number is +27 76 907 3679 or 076 907 3679, and you can win all sorts of things, including a year supply, not really a year, but a fuckload of pizza, as well as a subscription to Golf Punk magazine, and also something I'd like to talk about now, which is Bailey Port, Peter Bailey.
Yeah.
Port, could you pull out a bottle there, Mark Bailey? As I've said before, when I wrote my article on the Woodstock markets, which I did under the influence of mushrooms, and I ran into Mark there, and I wrote a ludicrous article about my experience, which included running into Mark, who is seen, can be seen. If you want to actually catch Mark in the flesh and touch his flesh, he sells his father's port at the Woodstock market. Very humbling line of work for someone who is in the public eye. Mark, tell us more about that, please.
Sure. My dad retired and started producing port on a very, very small farm in Karlitsdorp, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's 40 kilometers this side of Oudtshoorn on the Route 62.
Do you spend a lot of time there?
Unfortunately, not anymore, because of the market. You know, generally, you can only go up on weekends, and because of the market, either I'm doing it or my dad's doing it. So really only get to go up there a couple of times a year. In fact, they're harvesting at the moment, which is I'm sadly missing because I'm shooting that commercial. But we produce a port in the sort of traditional Portuguese style, which is different to a lot of the South African ports because it's just very easy drinking. I've got a bottle that's been chilling in ice here for the last couple of hours, and it's a phenomenal drink on ice. It got 4 stars in the latest John Platter rating, both our 2004 and 2005, which we're really happy with.
But no, how does it change in terms of how you make it? How does it lend itself to like a Portuguese way?
Part of it is the varietals that you have in it, and then also we produce it so that it's not too sweet. It starts out sweet and then always finishes slightly spicy or dry on the aftertaste, which just makes it really, really easy drinking. I mean, people are drinking it on crushed ice as aperitifs and doing all sorts of strange stuff with it, and it's actually great. I mean, I've chilled this bottle quite radically in ice for us to try a little bit later, so we'll give you an update on what Seth, with his epicurean palate of traveling around the world and tasting the best and the finest, what he has to say about it. But I'm not going to be
there. That'll be after the champagne, after the vodka. We're moving on to port. That's called mixing your drinks, kids.
And do it. Mix your drinks.
Now, how many other people make wine in the region? Because you said Oatsen, surely it would be mainly ostriches up there?
Well, in Calitzdorp's regarded as the port grain capital of South Africa, and the two biggest concerns there are Boerplas and Die Krans, who both produce very well-renowned ports. But as I said, ours is a different style, so we're not really competing against them. It's a far lighter style of port, just very European, very easy drinking. Those of you who know Italian wine will know how they differ from South African red wines. You know, you can drink a few bottles and still feel pretty good at the end of it. This has got 20% alcohol, so you probably couldn't do that. But it's a very attractive.
And the show would be a fucking disaster.
I think we're heading. We're heading that way rapidly.
Tell me something, Mark. I'd say the most well-known port for me would be Alice Falurin.
Alice Falurin, yeah. Look, I mean, that's
where do they make that?
That's a South African staple. If I'm not mistaken, I remember going out to Riebeek West and Riebeek Kasteel, and I think it's right near there. I've drunk a hell of a lot more of it than I've visited their farm. So, yeah, you know, I think we produce really nice port. This is just something a little bit different. If you find the South African port's a bit heavy and a little bit too cloying and sweet, then give the Peter Bailey port a try.
I think it's lovely.
It is a premium brand, so you're going to pay a little bit more for it. But
I think it's lovely. How much are they selling for one?
At the market, we sell it for $100 a bottle. So nice. And that's 500 mils, but it's 500 mils of quality, people.
500 mils of joy. I've had a few of them and thoroughly enjoyed them. Would you say that port is not something that you would drink as like a full evening drink?
You know what? Port traditionally, everybody thinks of port as sort of an English gentleman's drink at the end of a meal. And we're trying to change that perception. You know, like some people have sherry before a meal. This port is just so drinkable and it's so light, you could drink it whenever. But it's just great. Try it. Come by. I'm not going to be there this week, but if you come by next week, I'll be at the goods market. Give it a whirl, see what you think for yourself.
And what is the response of you being there at the markets for the local people walking around and suddenly they run into the guy from Survivor?
Well, to be honest with you, a lot of people don't recognize me until I start talking. I probably sign as many autographs and have as many pictures taken as I sell port. So it's about half-half. But
I think it's a very good way for the people who might misunderstand you, not that they have anything to go by, to really feel a part of you and speak to the real man.
Well, look, I'm married now, so they're not going to be able to feel a part of me.
Married life, how's that going?
That's great, we've covered that. Stop drinking. That's an interesting thing to address, is what a lot of people don't realize. I mean, I'm as normal as anybody else from Cape Town, not that even needs to be said, but suddenly you get pushed onto the South African stage as being quote-unquote a celebrity, which is not what I ever regard myself as being. I'm just a guy who happened to go to an audition, like I've gone to many for TV commercials, and suddenly I've got a national show which puts you in the national sort of psyche. And
have you seen yourself in Heat magazine?
Yeah, I've been in those. I've been in sort of most of the.
Weren't
the
you in the
magazines.
FHM top 100 hotties?
Okay, moving on.
Where did you come in that, Mark?
I can't remember. But you know what's interesting is
18th.
That
you came 18th.
Thank you, Seth.
Did you beat Colin Moss? he's trying to pretend to not be aware of it, but you did look. I mean, God.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm trying to get to is that even on the show of Survivor, even though it's like me and my name, and I don't have a screen name, and I'm not playing a character, I'm very definitely directed as to how I need to be on the show. So a lot of people expect me to be fairly sort of stern and strict and stuck up and stuff, and nothing could really be further from the truth. So I'm not really trying to plead my case here. It's just a
you're on the 2 Hour Survivor show.
There
if
we
you look
go.
Back,
I mean, I wouldn't have been invited if I was a prick.
Exactly. Have we had any pricks here? It's all about coolness. Yeah. Let's have a look back. Any pricks?
See, now, just so that you guys know, we've got a wardrobe in the room here, which has the celebrity page of people. Bobby Skinstead tops the list. Flecky straight underneath it. There are a few people I don't recognize. Kirky Falker is there.
Loads of fun. Yeah. Nick Maria swigging back on a bottle of beer, actually. That's the beer that they serve at Vita E.
See, now that was my mistake. I brought a Ponzi bottle of champagne, whereas I should have just brought some beer.
No, you did the right thing.
But no, it's been... I mean, that's the whole thing. We're starting a revolution, people.
Starting a revolution, and I don't know where it's actually going, but it's definitely the right thing. What I say to everyone is, are you a part of the plan? And I think you are, Mark. And the plan, we don't know where it's heading yet, but
Talking over Vanilla Ice.
No, well, I know the intro clock ends at 23 seconds, which is right now. I'll catch you after this. It's 4:26. All right, stop, collaborate, and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I blow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Go rush the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bulls out of kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. Tempo, I'm on a roll, it's time to go solo. Rollin', hit my 5.0, put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girlie's on standby, waiting just to say hi. Did you stop? No, I just drove by, kept on, pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A. Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men lovers, driving Lamborghinis. Jealous, cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the 9. Ready. For the chumps on the wall, the chumps acting ill because they're full of 8-ball. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my 9, all I heard was shells falling on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked. Police on the scene, you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all the dope fiends. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
To your mother.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
So yeah, so when we go to street level, we just run amok and we arrive there and had no idea what we were doing. You're back live on the Two Ocean Vibe Show. It's 4:30 in the afternoon. It is about 32 degrees outside. It's going very well. And Mark Bailey has just confirmed that we have a case of Peter Bailey ports. And let me just tell you that this is a premium port. It's not fucking around. I've had a few of them, and it is the real deal. And what Mark said is there's a case of this port. How many in a case, Mark?
Six bottles. Yeah.
Six bottles of Peter Bailey port. Trust me, it's fucking amazing. So your prize is worth, I mean, it's pretty much close to a grand. If you look at it in a few months' time, with the inflation and all that, it's pretty much a grand prize.
We're not in Zimbabwe yet.
No. We can't talk about that. Who are we turning into, Zimbabwe? It's all falling apart. Let's go. Okay, bye. The next person to phone in with voice, microphone, and headphones and be able to talk to us on Skype, our Skype name is The Two Oceans Vibe Show, will win a case of port. If you don't live in Cape Town, then all you have to do is pay for postage. For those
who are as challenged as myself, when you say the address is Two Oceans Vibe Show, is it the and then digit two? Sorry,
the and then digit two. Yeah, the number two. Just like if you're listening to us, then you would have had to write down most of that. At some stage, it's Two Oceans Vibe with the before and show at the end. The Two Oceans Vibe Show is our call sign on Skype. Throw in a phone call and you can win a case of Peter Bailey Port. It is magnifique. What year is that one?
2005.
3 years old. And or you can send a text. Let me give you the number again. It is +27 76 907 3679. And if you're sending it locally, which will incur zero postage, it is 076-907-3679. Warren Lessing wants to know if he can phone again.
Warren's back.
No, you can't, Warren. You've already done your thing. You've already won something. You've won a year's supply of Play Euro Millions lottery tickets. But it's nice that you're still listening. If you've just joined us, I'm with Mark Bailey from Survivor, the host of Survivor. We were talking earlier on about TV, and then it went into... No, Warren, not even for the port. You've won already.
Jeez, these advertising guys, they're animals.
I know.
Warren, back off. Back away from your PC.
Step away from the PC.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Argus Cycle Tour, Mark, on Sunday.
My favorite.
Are you excited?
I'm excited that I'm going to get the hell out of Dodge. I've done the race three times, and I've always done it.
Have you? Nice.
Yeah, but always completely socially. I mean, the last time
always
I did
completely
it,
sober.
The last time I did it, I actually hadn't been on a bicycle for about 4 years. And
honestly, no fucking training.
Nothing.
Is it that easy?
A friend of mine arrived.
Why do they make such a scene about it?
No. Because the guys who perform are training. But a guy arrived with a bucky with my bike on the back, which was his wife's spare bike. On his bucky. And I was working out the gears on the start line before I headed out. And I probably did about a 5.5 hour, which is really, really crap, because anything under 3 hours is admirable. But I wasn't racing. I just did it for the social vibe. And it is an amazing, amazing day out. But if you're not doing the race, if you're not cycling, it is one of the worst days to be in Cape Town. So head out to Franschhoek, go and have lunch at La Petite Femme or somewhere like that. And just avoid the crush.
Warren just let us know that he's not on a PC, he's on a Mac.
Oh, Warren, you advertising boy, you.
Yeah, obviously, you're in advertising, Warren. Why would you not
be on a Mac? As the byline to the show goes, touch yourself.
Touch yourself. Yeah. It's funny, actually.
This Grey Goose is really good.
It's really good. I'm feeling a little bit fraught. We're not to use the word fraught. But those old ducks were fraught last night. Oh, my mom was fraught. My mother does get fraught. But just back to August and just a last touch. I was trying to broker a tandem bike ride in August between Nick Maria and Bob Skinstad. I was sort of the middleman. Nick was like, "Do you think Bob would like?" I was like, "Bob, would you like?" And he's like, "I don't know." And he even said to me, "I don't want to be at the back. Can I be in the front?" I mean, and
you don't want to stare at a guy's ass for like four hours.
Especially,
I mean,
Nick. Especially Nick's. It's just too cute. It's just too adorable.
Yeah, and you're never going to catch him because you're in a fixed position.
Yeah, and you just like that
even
ass.
Even if you lean forward for the Heimlich maneuver, you're probably just not going to get there.
In fact, I don't even know. Is Nick actually riding? Hardiman, I know that you're listening. Is Nick Murray actually riding the August? God only knows.
But as a Cape Townian, we all look forward to the end of the August.
I know, especially if you live on Victoria Road with all those cyclists. And this is what I was saying during the break. This whole lead up to the August, you can feel it. You don't need to read the news. You know when the August is arriving because the fucking pelotons of bikes get longer and bigger as you get nearer, and you're like, something's going on here. And what I want to know is all these people who are cycling in the day, I mean, how many people like us don't work? It's amazing.
And it's not like the number of people on the beach thin at this time of year. So you've got all the people that are always on the beach, and now suddenly you've got a whole lot of guys that are cycling.
What are they doing? Do you get time off work? Could you just let us know, people, do you get time off work for the August? I mean, how the fuck does it work? They're all cycling in the day. It's bizarre. They're like grown men who, like, you know, they look like MDs and shit, cycling with their fucking FedEx fucking outfits, like doing, they paid for clothing that sponsors someone else. I find it hilarious.
That's like always good.
It's like a grand. When you cycle, did you wear the full on gear? How does it feel on?
No. I think I wore
Jadrons and t-shirts.
I wore baggies. Like,
really?
I'm not into this whole lycra revolution.
It's quite weird. No. 60-year-old men are walking into Caprice in their fucking in that shit. Like, if I saw my dad in that shit with those clogs that they can't walk on properly, can I have a muesli, please, and some fresh fruit? It's just fucking horrendous. Enjoy your cycle, guys. On the website, on 2hsurvive.com, which you should be if you're listening to the show, you can download maps as to where not to be on Sunday, as well as where the roads are closed. I mean, roads are actually closed. Do you know that?
No, look, it's great when you're riding the race, and it is a phenomenal day for Cape Town. Anybody who complains about the roads being closed, just freaking wake
up. It's a one-off.
It is. It's a one-off. It's an internationally renowned race. I take my hats off to the guys. I think it's the Lions Club.
Take my cycling helmet off to those guys. My fucking space-age cycling helmet.
I take my Lycra shorts off to the guys that are doing it. No, seriously, I mean, it is a phenomenal thing. It puts Cape Town on the map. I applaud anybody who does the race and who's involved in organizing it. But if you're not doing it, you just seriously want to get the head out of here. Go to Franschhoek. See you there.
You go to Franschhoek. In fact, I was invited to go to Nordhoek, and I'm not quite sure how we'll actually get there on the day of the fucking August.
Yeah.
By sea.
Yeah.
I might use my scooter. You need to get a scooter, Mark. For
my,
your vibe.
My,
I mean,
my,
your
my sense
vibe.
Of self-preservation is too strong to ride a scooter.
Where do you live? Where's your bungalow?
My bungalow is... we can almost see it from your...
Oh, yeah, up there, near to High Level Road.
Just on High Level Road, but...
Greenpoint.
Yeah, closer to Glengariff than we are now.
Yeah, so you should have a scooter, although your car is pretty much perfect for the vibe, but just park.
My car's like a four-wheeled scooter. I mean, there's not... It's just a slight upgrade from a beach buggy, which I've always wanted.
Always wants one. My friend Graham actually recently acquired one. Awesome, eh? That loud noise. Awesome. Sorry about that. Kayaking. Let's just go back to kayaking and your car. Kayaking as a sport for me, and the reason why I raised it is like it's a hell of a fucking thing to do to get to your place of fucking happiness.
Okay, I'm just going to admit right now and just clear it up for those people who are purists.
That we've binge drinking.
Besides the fact that we've binge drinking, is that kayaking is on the rivers, and I've done one doozy, and it was in a three-man, so that was a bit of a cheat. But what I do is surf skiing, and it's not that big an effort. You know, you go down to Camps Bay.
When are they going to make one that just folds at least half? And I know it'll leak, but like it's fucking 2008. We can make it fold in half and then stick back, surely.
Okay, I'm cutting you off on the booze right now.
Surely, Mark.
No, come on. You're going to fold a canoe in half.
They must make it. They can make fucking space shuttles. Those never leak.
Do you think that the space shuttle is real, or is that in a studio?
Do you think the moon landing's real?
You know, it's good to dream.
It is good to dream as the
youngster. Rose-colored spectacles.
Yeah. Life is beautiful through them.
Touch yourself.
Getting very carried away here. Warren is on a Mac, not a PC. Do you know what I like?
Is Warren the only guy who's actually...
No, there's a whole fucking list of guys who are on. It's amazing.
All you mentioned is
listen.
Warren.
No.
Is there something you want to tell us?
No, because his... I'm having something with Warren and the Mavericks guy.
Which song are you playing?
You tell me.
This is my choice.
I think it will all come to you shortly.
Ambush me.
It's called Ambush Marketing.
Warren.
Yeah, have you heard of that one, Warren? Guerrilla Marketing. Tell me when you know the song, Mark. No one wants to win a case
and
of fucking
I selected these teams. This is going out to my wife, Gabby.
Enjoy.
Enjoy,
Gabs. Catch you after this, people. It's 4:41. We got a port. We got a port of case to give away. A whole port of case. Six ports in one case. Six cases in one port.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning, through rose-tinted glasses. At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And you're back to have the Two Oceans Vibe Show. It's 4:45, and people are sending in text messages. We've just realized that although this might sound like a very professional outfit, it is in fact not. And would you believe it, the text messages that you send actually go to a Nokia, an actual little phone, and the message inbox was full, and it's now open. And hi, Mark, chap.
Is oh dear, it? That was my agent calling.
Mark's agent.
I just
calling.
Hung up on my agent. That's probably cost me serious.
Bucks. Yeah, it's probably that stuff you said earlier about Mnet. now we've got here. Hi, Mark, chap. Is the rumor true that you're moving here to Joburg? Love, Scott Sargent. Do I get the port?
Scotto, you biscuit. Of course you get the port.
Well done, Scott. You nailed it.
That's almost an inside joke. Scott Sargent is my cousin who lives in Joburg. I couldn't think of anybody I'd like to give the port to more. So congratulations on your timing, Scotto.
Scott Sargent nailed it.
Yeah, he nailed it. I'll tell you what, he is all about.
How do you know Scott Sargent?
Okay, for those of you who are sober, forgive my repetition, but he's my cousin.
Okay. I don't listen. I mean,
yeah, Scott, just so you know, I'm tight enough to not send it to you next time you're in Cape Town.
I'll hand it to you.
You can fly it back.
And Mark's just saved himself a bottle of a case of port. But if someone sends in a Skype phone call, then they will definitely get that exact case, and Scott will just have
to. Now I'm giving away two cases.
No, you said that Scott's not really actually getting it.
No, of course he is. I'm just not going to send it to
okay,
him.
Okay,
He'll get it when he gets down here.
He'll be standing by. I think it's in that room. Is it not there? Okay, we'll find out. I don't know where it is. Mark, something I never had the strength to write about. Sometimes I get like so many great ideas to write about, and I go through it all in my head, and I go through the start, I go through the middle, I go through the whole thing, and I reach an end. And because it's all been done in my head, it's done, and I can't write about it. I can only write about things if I start writing as I think about them, and I think about it through as I write. But if I have enough time and I'm not near my laptop and I think a whole thing through,
this
then
is
I can't
a shadowy
actually write.
Flight into the life of a man yeah. who does not exist.
Yeah,
Michael Knight.
Who are you, Michael the Hoff? Don't talk the Hoff.
No, but Michael Knight, not the Hoff.
But let me just say, Johnny Vaughan told me the Hoff is a part of the plan. The Hoff is a big fan of the Two Oceans Vibe. I don't know if you know that.
No,
the
of
Hoff,
course he is.
The Hoff sent me a T-shirt via Johnny Vaughan. But yeah, Michael Knight. Back to what we want to talk about.
You know, he's a complete. I mean, obviously you saw the hamburger thing, but he's been a complete pisscat for like 20 years
know,
or something.
I know. He's so
actually
in
the same guy who does the security for. Christa Berg does the security for the Hoff, and he told us years ago when Christa Berg was out here that he basically is hired to keep him away from the bar. That's the only security that he needs.
I love that, but that's how the Hoff should be. And the one thing that Vaughny told me about the Hoff is people mustn't make the mistake of thinking that he doesn't know. He's very aware of the whole vibe. He knows.
It's the same way that Donald Trump knows about his hair. Yeah. It's not like it's an inside joke to everybody else except him.
Yeah,
it's his trademark.
The Hoff, no, he's very aware. He's taking the piss. Who's phoning is?
No, that's Stuart. He's too shy to phone. Let me just see what his message says. Oh my God! And it's a phone call. I'm not going to play my tune because people.
It's quite interesting to note that Mark Bailey from The Survivor, his ringtone is certain bird calls and certain wildlife activity, which is to what you would expect from the host of Survivor.
That's the theme from. Moving on.
As you've seen, the Grey Goose.
This vodka's kicking in.
the
in a serious way.
This is what happens if you have
it's
no.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is my theme song. Everybody thinks it's a Survivor theme song. I don't know why they think
it. This is what happens when you've got no one in charge and no parents around anywhere.
Yeah, that's what makes this lovely. We've got no control
little,
board.
Two,
we've got no.
Two kids.
Nobody's saying that you can't say
two kids
words
fucking
like,
around.
Damn.
Mark, the racism thing, there are a few things that I just wrote on my desktop here. We had...
Viva racism, viva. What? Damn it, these messages. I'll tell you what, I've probably just lost out on some huge deal. My agent's trying to get hold of me desperately, but I'd far rather just drink vodka and hang out with you.
Well,
so where are we?
Tell him to send in a Skype call and we'll sort it out.
Done.
The latest racism in Bloemfontein at the university. We have very staunch Afrikaans racists, I'd say, being forced to integrate, and it ended up with a video that they made with regards to initiation. Now, you went to Cape Town High. I assume you weren't a boarder there, right?
Nobody was a boarder there except for the people that were genuinely homeless who used to sleep in the gym.
There you go. And now...
And there weren't any of them. I just made that up.
No, we used to... At my school, where you had like a boarding house thing, there was always initiation. And...
Not of the cleaners, though.
No. But there were certainly things that, if you had to film them now, and you had to...
It would be like Kampstaldraad.
Yeah, they would be out there, and they would also be on Sky News, right? Yeah. These are things that do happen that people shouldn't really know about, and those are things that do happen to people that are aware that they will be happening. What we have in Bloem is people who have been raised in that sort of lifestyle where you do initiate people. They're like staunch Afrikaners who are involved in sort of rugby, etc., where there's always like team initiations. You will be interested to know that the Springbok team refused to initiate Luke Watson. And this little tidbit as the Grey Goose flows. And basically what they did there is something that they would do to someone else anyway. Maybe they went a little bit harder with the African folk. But the point is, and the point that I want to make here is, it should never have come to that in the first place. That should never have been allowed. They should never have been in their care in the first place. These are people who are quite staunch. Why do you need to put them in the same place? Like I said earlier on to you, if you put a bunny rabbit inside a lion cage, they'll rip its head off. No one will go, oh my God, did you see what happened to that bunny rabbit? It's going to fucking happen. They shouldn't have been forced to do it in the first place. These people are the real fucking deal. And these are people who are, as they said on Carte Blanche, they're fearing for the future of their language and their culture, etc., etc. And they have they not been fighting to have their own states for a long time? Give them their own fucking state and don't force these things on them, because look what happens. When I first heard about it, I was not shocked. Were you shocked? Were you really shocked?
Look, I was shocked.
Check how political we're getting suddenly on the show.
It's suddenly really getting very heavy. I don't know what the Grey Goose is doing, but maybe that's why Russian politics
were
is
you,
like it is.
Were you shocked?
I was shocked because we all sort of know, whether we went to private schools or not, we know that their initiations take place, and some people look at it as abuse, and some people look at it as sort of character building activities.
And you're also aware that there are folk that can't change.
Look, I don't think anybody can't change, and the hope is that within a couple of generations people will change, and that the people who are sort of completely racist and bigots and stuff like that will hopefully die out in a generation or two. I think the thing that is shocking about this is, and the difficulty is not understanding the context in which it happened, because you get the defense coming through that it was almost like an episode of Punk'd that went wrong. Did the guys pee in that soup and then take it, or the stew, and then actually feed exactly that to the people, or did they actually have, was that for broadcast purposes, for creating some atmosphere? Did they actually not actually serve up the stew that had been peed in?
If they did, well, that's serve something it, that you would fall they, on, well, just that, like they did. They said we were only joking.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Is like, did they actually serve exactly that, or did they do it?
Well,
to
we don't
the
know, and it's a good
exactly.
It's a good loophole for them.
But if it is a loophole, then it's more a case of Punk. Because if it was an inside joke, then that's one thing. If they actually peed in it and served it to those people and made them eat it, that is disgusting. And there's no justification for something like that.
For me, the big thing was the folk that did hit with this whole vibe. They were older folk, and that really hit me. These were old ladies, old overweight ladies who had to do various things. They had to run and they had to play rugby and stuff. That for me was more of a shock than white people making black people drink weed, because that is going to fucking happen there. Like, that is what you're dealing with there. Do you see them on Carte Blanche?
It shouldn't happen. And the interesting thing with that as well, what I'd like to know is how they coerced these people into doing those activities. What did they say to those cleaning staff to get them out into the field playing rugby? What was the justification? What was the motivation for saying, we're making a movie, we're going to be filming this, we want you to do this, this, and this? Was there threat involved? Was it just presented as this is something fun that we're doing that you're actually going to enjoy? Did they actually pee in that soup or did they not? Yeah, there are too many questions for us, I think, to comment on.
I just think it's just so sad how it's on Sky News for the world to see. And my one friend who lives in Florida sent me an email going, have you seen this? And he had a link to the article on some site. And I said to him, yeah, thank you very much, but I don't know these guys. Those people exist. They're in the States. If you had to do something like that in those sort of redneck, skinhead towns, the same thing would happen.
I don't doubt that it happens everywhere in the world, but I don't think it's a bad thing. Look, it might not be great for sort of tourism and stuff like that, but I don't think it's a bad thing that it gets shown worldwide and is condemned worldwide, because those guys
still don't know what they did wrong. That is what I'm saying here.
But worldwide condemnation will help with that. But we're getting very heavy here.
I know, Jesus.
I think it's time for the next track.
It's unbelievable. Why do we do
Come
that?
On, Will. Come on. We're on the West
Basically,
Coast here.
Why do you keep on saying world? All I'm saying is you saw in their faces that they actually had no idea what they did wrong. And for someone to do that after they've been nailed, you need to look at
How many times have you had sex with this next song?
Such a good song, yeah. Black Velvet, catch you after this. Always wanting more. back very live and very much enjoying the, I would say Woolworths, but they refused to pay me, so I won't. But chips and hummus dip. Thoroughly enjoying it. Mark Bailey, are you enjoying the chips?
These Woolworths chips are delicious, and their hummus is fantastic.
Isn't it just? We were talking earlier on about...
Maybe you should approach Spa.
I don't know if that's really the image that I like to put across. We are so suited to Woolworths, but they just don't see the bigger picture. It's fine. We've got Butler's
more
pizza.
More of a Giovanni's thing going on here, I think, huh? A little boutique. I know it's not nationwide, but...
Wonder if I could... Well, yeah, 65% of the... readers are from South Africa. Giovanni's is in Cape Town. 20% are from Claremont. Yeah, we'll speak to Mr. Giovanni. You've got, when the name Mark Bailey comes up, it's very, I wouldn't say controversial, but it definitely,
I hope not.
It lends itself to it. I mean,
the fuck
there's
you're
a lot of,
about?
No, there's a lot of teasing that goes on. I mean, Radio 5, Gareth Cliff, you and him, you guys, big mates?
Gareth Cliff and I have met once, and it took a second for us to pass as he climbed into the elevator and I walked out of it. Look, I know that I've heard.
Who's the chick that you call the elevator?
Okay, that's just
Gareth
rude.
Cliff was seen climbing into a chick who looks like an elevator. Yeah, go on, sorry.
Refrigerator Perry. I haven't heard him diss me on air, but I believe that he has a number of times, and mostly it's to do with my voice. And as I said earlier, some people. Like it, some people think it's crap.
I love it. I think it's great.
It's what it is. It's I'm not putting it on. It's how I sound. So if people don't dig it, it's.
Let's say your real voice, Mark. Okay, I'll talk like this for the rest of.
No, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. And I think it's, you know, there are. Are we pouring the bottle down to the all-seeing eye? Okay, let's just topped up the glass.
And then we're going to stop and switch.
If
to
you pour. Are sweating in your office and they haven't turned on the aircon,
that's
that is
great.
Ice
so you got no. I think they're just leaving now. It's 5 o'clock.
Fantastic. This is the drive home. That's what's waiting for you. That's what's waiting for you. Okay. Well, they wouldn't be listening to us in their car.
He teases your voice. I must just say that, but there's one thing about him. It's his voice for me that's fucking annoying. So
I think the guy's really professional. I'm not just saying this to be PC.
I think he's
really good at what he does. He's a sharp boy. He does what he does. And you know what? Maybe dissing me. There are probably as many people that like me
it's
that don't
job.
Like me. And he's appealing to them. So yeah, that's great. No, as I said, I've met him for. We said hi and passed, and that's it. I haven't said anything about him. He said a bit about me, but no, it's not.
What have you said about him?
This is as much as I've ever said about him publicly. I think he's good at what he does.
Globally. It's a global station. Survivor. Let's go back to Survivor. Although you are married, I'm sure that it is within reason to ask you who you think the hottest chick was that you've had on the show. Survivor. Brigitte, Angela Bennett, what are we talking?
You know what? There are girls that are very attractive that have been on the show. I think it's safe to say that none of them have necessarily been my particular cup of tea. So I'll leave it at that. I mean, they're definitely, you know, there are enough that have sparked viewer interest and people that are raving about the different girls that are on the show.
Such a safe answer. So safe. Gabby's listening. It's very safe. Mark?
Safe but true.
Who won in the last one? No, she was a cop, hey?
Lorette Mostert, yeah. She was a cop.
Where do you go from there? I mean, she's a lovely chick. She's very suited to the survival vibe, but in a very nice way. Not the most marketable person in the world. Albeit the point is to win a million. But what they do overseas is use that as legs to go further.
Yeah, look, I'd have to do 10 seasons to make as much money as she made in one. So
has she gone back to the force?
She went straight back to the force. You know, she's a salt of the earth woman. It was an adventure.
What's her name again?
Lorette.
You can see it's
Mostert.
A household name.
But you know, but that's her thing. Is she? There's some people that go into the show hoping to create a public profile for themselves. There's some people that have a degree of a public profile anyway, and they try to sort of exaggerate that by being on the show. And all power to them. I mean, and, you know, however you're going to make your money in this world and survive.
All power to them.
That's great.
But who's done the best in terms of that vibe, but in terms of using it as a vehicle to move forward, which would normally, which from who we've seen, it would be people who haven't won.
Look,
who's used that the most?
Well, you just took away my answer because I was going to say monetarily. Obviously, the people that won would probably do the best. Outside of those, you know, the first season they had a number of people who were probably more high profile than others. And in the second one, slightly less so. I haven't really kept contact with the guys. I don't know
who were the big names in the first show again.
Gareth Chassink, who was the Archer's Aqua guy. He'd already been on ads and he'd won the Archer Aqua's hottie of the
year. Good looking boy, yeah.
Yeah, and he won. I think he won a couple of other competitions as well. So he got a good profile out there. And the fact that he's a doctor, a qualified doctor who actually works at Baragwana.
Big appeal.
And shocking hours and stuff
big
like that.
Big appeal for the birds.
Yeah, you know, it's not only is
he... He's a survivor and a doctor. It's like, yeah. Who else do you want to look after you other than a doctor who's been in Survivor?
Exactly. Christ. So I think he's probably been the most marketable person who's ever been on the show.
What's his name again?
Gareth Chassink.
Okay, it's really weird. I mean, in terms of like a household name, I mean, there's none that have stuck for me except for.
But with all due respect, you're not a woman. No. So Brigitte would stick in your mind because
she's tall and blonde. Yeah.
Yeah, and she is incredibly statuesque, and I saw her recently.
I've seen her. She is actually hot.
Yeah, no, she is. She's a very attractive woman.
Angie's an old friend of mine as well, and she's
I know Angie from the beach. I mean, I used to play beach bats. So she plays a mean game
been,
of beach
though?
Bats.
She moved.
She's living in Miami at the moment.
I haven't seen her for a while. Miami.
Yeah.
Andolinos, now Miami.
I Miami.
I don't know if that's the right.
I papi. So she's over there, and
is she doing there?
Also, I think one of the most beautiful women in this country is the winner of the first season, Vanessa Marawa. But
don't actually remember her.
No, she's just spectacularly beautiful. Yep.
Very good. Idols, are you sexually attracted to Mara?
You know what?
I'm just saying that because they used her on Carte Blanche last Sunday for an episode to do with sex and the orgasm, and they spoke to Mara of all South African personalities. They chose Mara.
I think there was a hidden reason to that. I think the reason behind that was that...
She's a motherly figure?
No, not that at all. Is that men generally will get to the big O faster than women. So... Having the thought of Mara in your mind might delay.
So you don't. So you actually equal at the same time.
And what could possibly be better than sort of mutual orgasm?
I must say, I did not like hearing Mara speak about sex. It's like Mara should
but you know
not
what?
Be
the
having
nice,
sex.
The nice thing is,
she shouldn't
about,
be having sex, Mara.
Thinking about Mara to delay orgasm has replaced Roseanne Barr, and I thank her for that. So
yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
I must say, my head was going. I was like thinking about talking about. Porn I've been using lately and stuff, but I just need to stop that. We have a text message here.
This vodka's got strong. We need to dive in.
Hey boys, the guys in London are still at work. Would kill for a Grey Goose right now from Grant. Very nice, Grant. Grant's just won something. We've already given away the case.
The guys in London can afford Grey Goose. So yeah, nice one. What are we, almost 15 to the pound?
Yeah, 15. It was 15.5 for a while. When I was in London, it was 18, 19, 20, which is very good. And I left at that time, which is awesome. But to Mark, thank you for the text message. I can't imagine what you guys are doing now. Are you in the office? How many hours behind are they now? Is it one or two now? Summertime?
No idea.
God knows. Thank you, Mark. Send us a text. Let us know where you're from. But you've definitely won something. I just need to decide. We can't send you pizza all that way. Mark's already given away the port. What you are going to win is
lottery tickets. Or we're giving those away.
We gave that to Warren Lessing.
I'll tell you what. Next time he's out here, why doesn't he give us a call and we'll take him out for a meal at Capri's?
Oh, well, that's a given. That's a given. Definitely, Mark. Thank you for that. Why don't you... this is quite hard for you to subscribe to... If you want, you can choose. Do you want a year's subscription to Golf Punk South Africa magazine to be sent to you there? Or do you want one line of lottery tickets per week for the Play Euro Million. Send us a text and we will tell you what you want. The number again to send in anything you want, it's a free for all here, is +27 76 907 3679. And Mark, could you tell them about the Skype?
Yeah, if you want to reach us on Skype, or rather, I'm only going to be here for a short time, so in future, it is the, or the, Two Oceans Vibe Show, and that's with a digit 2.
And the is obviously spelt with letters, T-H-E. As we move very swiftly and very casually into our next song, which is going to make you sweat, by CNC Music Factory. I'll just let you all know that... it's nicely oiled, yeah. Thanks, Scott Sargent. I am definitely pissed. Thank you for that text message. This is why I do not drink during the show, Mark. CNC Music Factory, I know all of the words to the rap in this, Mark. I sincerely hope that you do too. Catch you after this. It's 12 minutes past 5, and it's 0.35 minutes into the next song, which starts at the 50 mark. So if you want me to wrestle on for 10 seconds, I will, but I won't. Because we've been drinking way too much. I haven't done this since Fleck.
Here is the gong, back with the bass. Pajamas live in effect, and I don't waste time on the mic with a dope rhyme. Jump to the rhythm, jump, jump to the rhythm, jump. And I'm here to combine beats and lyrics to make you shake your pants. Take a chance, come on and dance. Guys, grab a girl, don't wait, make a twirl. It's your world, and I'm just a squirrel. Trying to get a nut to move your butt to the dance floor. So, yo, what's up? Hands in the air, come on, say yeah. Everybody over here, everybody over there. The crowd is live and I will do this too. Party people in the house, move.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out.
Well,
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And we're back at the Two Oceans Vibe Show, and I'm just... moved faster than most from the lavatory back to the microphone. I thought I did very well, Mark.
I thought I was going to have to start without you. I wasn't sure which buttons to push, though, because you are a master at pushing buttons. And I just have to tell the listeners out there that I arrived Seth's Atlantic Seaboard Studio.
It's Seth's
Atlantic Seaboard Studio. And he has two angels working for him. Anybody who goes onto his site regularly, as I'm sure you all do, is familiar with the term angels. And he has two of them working for him, which I very sadly saw make a hasty exit once I arrived. What was with that?
Well, it's show day, and it's always Thursdays is right, girls. It's show time. You need to get out because it's I like to hide it from them as to what actually happens here. Not that they can't actually listen at home on the laptops that I gave them, but I don't know. I just don't like them around. It's just a little bit too much. I am secretly...
As he looks down at his waistline.
I'm a recluse.
Ah. See, I thought they would have been spectacular to serve the Grey Goose, but we had to pour it ourselves. So and you need to step it up, and I know that you're sponsored by Mavericks, so...
Have I told you about that guy in the Mavericks ads?
No, we agreed that you're not going to talk about that. Yeah.
But we just had a text from Grant who won something, and he had to tell us what he won. And he said, hey, guys, thanks. Let's go for the Golf Punk mag. We'll have it sent to my old boy in South Africa. He needs to work on his game. Thanks for the lekker show. Grant, send an email to editor at tourismvibe.com to that effect, and I'll make sure that you get that. Thank you very much.
Again, nice echo in the studio there.
I know.
And just to all of those of you who are driving home right now in the heat, that is ice jingling in a glass.
Grey Goose. Is Grey Goose...
Goose.
Jeez, it really is fucking falling apart. Is Grey Goose one of the best?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Belvedere is also fantastic. Grey Goose and... Well, you got Absolute, and then you got Level 1, which Absolute produces well, which is really nice. But Grey Goose is very, very popular.
Sky,
I know in the States, whenever I'm there, it's Grey Goose is what they drink.
Sky is more pure than Absolute.
Well, that's
do you know
Sky
that?
With two Y's.
Yeah. Well. Because they tried to register Sky, and they weren't able to, so they just went, let's add on a new Y.
That's so brand building for you. Warren, are you listening?
I started a CC with a friend. And we went for the Magical Mystery Boys CC. And they sent it back saying, no, it's too close to this one or to that one. So I said, fine, how about the very pensive Magical Mystery Boys? And they said, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Fucking funny. Mark, have you ever thought of doing infomercials?
I was offered a very, very lucrative infomercial ad, and my agent told me that that was where presenters and actors went to die.
Why is that?
So, you know, I don't know, and I think in retrospect we probably should have pondered the offer slightly longer, because it was incredibly lucrative. It was probably three seasons of Survivor combined for one commercial. So in retrospect I'm feeling
3
like
million rand and you said no to it.
Whatever. Yeah. Oh, to dream. I wouldn't rule it out anymore. I think, you know, some people sort of say that once you've done that, that's the end. But I don't think anybody really judges you by doing stuff like that. And if you're going to make some serious tom from it, everybody's into paying the rent. So, yeah, I wouldn't turn it on.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Just fucking show me the money. It's absolutely fine.
Yep. Exactly.
Speaking of which, have you heard of a thing called... a guy called Mike Strutter.
I haven't.
He's a guy who I featured on my website that just shows that Mark Bailey does not read the website. For a guy that I thought did read it, I mean, You used to quote me.
You know what? I've advertised on your site for selling my car. I've done all sorts of things on your site. I've been a loyal follower for years.
But that's when I had the classified section.
Yeah, classified section. I put my car on there.
And?
I've been...
Sold?
No. Oh, it is sold, but... not through you. Sold a Sersky through you, though, so that was great.
Really?
Yep. And, yeah, I've been following it for years. But what tends to happen is that I try to spend as little time online as possible. I feel like I'm losing my soul when I'm online. So,
tell me about it.
You know, if I was working in a job where I was actually in front of a computer, there's nothing better than switching off from the daily grind and going on to twooceansvibe.com. But failing that, I mean, I'm generally on the beach, and I'm not going to leave that to go online. So,
well, for those of you that haven't seen the article that I wrote a few days ago, it does help if you watch this, but I'd like to do it on air anyway for Mark.
When you get home from a hard day having worked your nuts off, there's nothing worse than your guts rumbling like a fucking tube train and having to spend hours preparing a fucking meal. I like to look after myself, and I'm not prepared to eat this ready meal shit. That's why I've designed the Strutagear Micro Slave Oven. The top section looks the same shape and size as a standard microwave, but open it up, and we reveal it contains a small Filipino slave kit. Just give him the ingredients. And he takes it down to his compact living quarters where he cooks you whatever you want. Make me some fucking meatballs, nice and spicy. Within minutes, the little bastard has cooked up all those great ingredients and made you a really healthy meal.
How's that, Mark?
That's a shocker.
Ooh, not bad. But next time, don't go pussy with the fucking garlic. Now, the great thing is, without a visa or a work permit, your microslave hasn't got a fucking leg to stand on when all you're paying is your leftover scraps. Think yourself lucky. It's more than you get making fucking t-shirts all day, you motherfucker. The Strutagear Micro Slave Oven is now at the fucking crazy low price of 299 sheets.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
You know, is that bad when you are putting a roof?
He actually reminds me of my insurance broker.
Who do you use?
Moving right along.
Well, the only reason I said that is that you should be using the Two Oceans Vibe insurance broker, Richard Neville, who is the choice of virtually every person that you see there.
Never short of a punt on Two Oceans Vibe.
No, speaking of which, we do allow something that we had in the earlier shows, which I haven't mentioned since then, but you are allowed a free punt if you wish. In fact, there's no need in even saying it to you because it's your father's porch. Am I right?
That is indeed.
It's not.
You know what? You asked me for 10 songs. How many have we played? Four?
Yeah, let's get into some more fucking music here. Jesus, it's just like... Let's just all settle down a little bit. I'm just quite like, I don't know.
Oiled.
Oiled.
Nicely done.
And Mark has to tell us the name of the song before it's...
I drove for Depeche Mode.
Fuck, I never remember the song's name, and I'm so glad that you mentioned it. It's awesome. Reach out and touch me. Very sexual. Almost makes me want to play Nine Inch Nails. What's their song?
This one.
Reach out, touch me.
I'll never give up looking for my girl. He should go, and he said things he hadn't said before, and he was so mad. And I don't think he's coming back, coming back. I did too much lying, wasted too much time. Now I'm here and crying. I've been around the world and I can't find my baby.
I can't find my baby. I don't know and I don't know why. Why? Marlon Brando, Jimmy Dean, on the cover of a magazine. Grace Kelly, Harlow Jean, picture of a beauty queen. Jean Kelly, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, dance on air. They had style, they had grace. Rita Hayworth, in good face. Lauren Catherine, Manitou, Betty Davis, we love you. Ladies with an attitude, fellas that were in the mood. Don't just stand there, let's get to it. Strike a pose, there's nothing to it.
Tell you what, Seth, one of the things that comes to mind is when you asked me for my list of South African, or not South African, but of my top 10.
Yeah.
I went with 1990 because yeah. it was fairly safe and it was easy to come up with 10 hits within a year. But, you know, I often get asked about South African artists and stuff like that. And I mean,
have you got some favorites?
Look, I think Arno Carstens is an incredible talent. There's a band that is known pretty well on campuses called the Southern Gypsy Queens, which I think is, if they change their name, they might do better because they're actually phenomenal.
Names are so important.
I met them 2 years ago at the New Year's Bash at Cape St. Francis, which goes
off. Who are the guys
off
in the band there?
I actually can't remember the individual guys' names, but they're brilliant. They got the song Rise Up. I mean, it's a really, really good band. And then, you know, going back to some of my earliest memories of South African artists, you're looking at, obviously, Johnny Clegg was huge from when I was sort of fairly young. And then there's an artist in Cape Town, or I've seen him in Cape Town, called Rupert Mello. Who
I know him very well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that guy can sing Billy Joel better than Billy Joel sings Billy Joel. And I don't know why, you know, we've got such incredible talent in this country, and I don't know why they haven't got the breaks that they deserve or the exposure that they...
But I think he's I remember he had a song on that they used to play on KFM, which was You Can Have the Week, But the Weekend's
you know,
Mine.
It's funny you mention that because that's exactly the song that I was going to mention to you. And I think, you know, when you're a kid, you totally misinterpret songs and you take your own interpretation out of it. And I come from a divorced household and I remember listening to that song...
A broken home, Mark.
Yeah.
It's a good line. It's a good line for the chicks. Yeah, I come from a broken home.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You can work that. I can't anymore. But I used to think that You Can Have the Week was talking to my mom, like you've got the kid for the week, but the weekend's mine. And I think it's actually a total misinterpretation of what the song's about. I think it's about talking about like you can work during the week, but it's us together on the weekend. But as just a total misinterpretation. But it was one of the sort of seminal South African songs of the time when I was growing up. And I mean, I don't know where the guy is now, but he is a phenomenal, phenomenal talent. And
he's amazing. I actually know a few. A few of my friends' folks are huge fans of Rupert Mello, and the one thing about that is there you have a guy who's actually made it. He's been there, he's done that, and he is an absolute star. While we're all sort of focusing on these new bands and which band is the new band or the hot band. Or the next big thing. Here we have a guy who is the hottest thing ever, but he's just hidden away. And I know that he does still play. He plays a lot in sort of Durbanville, etc., etc. In fact, funnily enough, and it sounds like we actually planned this section, I'm actually going to watch him on Friday night at Kelvin Grove, being a WASP type fellow, I will be at Kelvin Grove, and he's playing there. It's Rupert and the Thunderbirds at Kelvin Grove. Those of you out there who have parents and you are under the age of 40, if you're over the age of 40, you ask yourself. If you're under the age of 40, ask your folks if they know about Rupert Mello. He's playing live at Kelvin Grove, Rupert and the Thunderbirds, on Friday night, and it is sold out. I will be quite honest to say that I've never pulled so many strings as I did to land myself a table at the gig on Friday night, tomorrow night. I'm so excited. I wish we had a song to play after this.
It's just an amazing thing. It's like the guy is like an unknown legend, and I know that sounds like a misnomer, but he really is. He's fantastic. And another guy that I really, really loved his music was Robin Auld. Ocean Motion is one of my favorite albums. And you just wonder, why did these South African guys, maybe it was a little bit early when we were all still thinking.
I think they were before their time. No, it was all pre-world globalness.
It was at a time when we were all still thinking South Africa doesn't produce any fantastic music and we have to look overseas for things to appreciate, and I think we actually need to revisit some of these guys and have a listen to their music, because it really was fantastic. So if you ever see Robin Auld advertised or Rupert Mellor, do yourselves a favor and try and catch their shows, because
absolute pros, and they are geniuses.
They should be on the kind of scale of some of the top people in the world that we celebrate. I mean, I went to the Elton John concert at Sahara Park Newlands, and
he's very good, I believe.
Look, I really enjoy his music. I think it's fantastic. I went because I bought tickets for my dad, who's been a fan for ages. See, that's my ringtone. It's pretty lame, but I'm going to hang up on whoever that is.
Unknown,
you don't need to
answer. It's so Survivor, Mark. It's actually a bit much.
It's not. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everybody thinks it's Camel Man. They did some very good
But they used it. I mean, they did take it from that for the ad.
Yeah. Okay, but going back to that, I mean, I went to the concert, and, you know, I don't know, maybe he had a bad night or it was a little bit past it, but... yeah, average.
It's amazing how well
we've got guys.
I can hardly talk now. It's amazing. You like really, you fucking hold your own. Smash.
You know what? I drink so much port on Saturdays when I'm selling it at the market. At the neighborhood.
By the way,
market,
we are now having
onto the port.
Yeah, Peter Bailey port on ice. This is after the Bollinger, which is empty. After the Grey Goose, which we would be wrong.
We
would be wrong to empty. It's a liter bottle. We moved on to the Peter Bailey on ice. I must say, it's very good.
It's not too shabby.
Very good. Yeah. But the thing that we were saying about the likes of Rupert Mellor is no disrespect to the other sort of cultures, etc., in South Africa, but there is Afrikaans music, there's Kwaito, the rest of it, but there's no sort of English white music for like an older generation. There's none. Like, there's no like Tom Jones, or there's no, it's always,
yeah, they're no vintage guys. We've got like Just Ginger and guys like that are phenomenal.
Exactly.
There are a lot of young guys.
They're no old boys. Even
like elder statesmen.
Exactly. That's even black or white, there's no sort of older generation rockers. And they are there, but they're not being used. I mean
where are the guys from Rabbit?
Rabbit.
I mean,
what about
I went out with a girl whose father.
The bats.
I went out with a girl whose father is one of the most. He's got one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard in my life. Like, why aren't those guys being heard? It's a shame. It really is. We're losing a lot of talent.
And they're right near the end. Let's not lose them all together. They're fucking in their 60s now. Actually, Ruben Mellor used to play in a band called McCully Workshop. Do you remember their song 16 Man on a Dead Man's Chest?
Yeah.
Will I see the Buccaneer?
Yeah,
the Buccaneer. Said, I'll see you dead. I'll see you swinging from the yard on. And then
the port's kicking in.
And then they went. Then they went. The Buccaneer sang in a nasal twang. There's enough gold here to start on. How's that lyric?
Jeez, that's straight out of Two Oceans of Vine.
It's straight out of fucking Pirates of the Caribbean. Unbelievable. So we're getting so nostalgic here. It's just like so awesome right now, having the port, etc., etc. It just makes me think a lot about these old rockers, which it would be foolish not to mention one who is quite elderly now. Billy Idol.
Yes, indeed.
And he has my favorite song from when I was a kid, Money Money. I really loved this song. I really fucking loved it.
Were you a Mona?
Mona. That's Moni. What the fuck is Moni Moni? Catch you after this, and then we'll be wrapping up. I mean, 6 o'clock, guys. Come on. Yeah. Billy Idol, Money Money, a very sexual song. I used to listen to it a lot as a kid. I thought myself as a bit of a Billy Idol, and we've now reached... I'm talking like it's a midnight show, Nightcaller, and thanks a lot. And your calls to Lucy, thanks for that. Having hassles.
How awesome would it be to host a night show and you can talk like it, like this is the Night Owl?
I know. Do you remember Midnight Caller, Jack Killian?
No, but I remember listening to a black guy who used to talk to truckers. And he was like, hello and good night, trucker. Tell me your story. That's and brilliant. I used to think it was just the most phenomenal show. And you'd get these truckers calling in who are driving from freaking Lanseria to George or something like that. And they're like, hello, trucker. Tell me your story. I'd love to be a night DJ.
I love that.
Jeez, we've been drinking too much.
Jesus. I must just say to the listeners, as if you are fucking regular listeners, you'll know quite well that you'll just know when I've been boozing, which is right now, which was the theme of the show for the first few shows. It started to come right towards David Moffat from the Dirty Skirts and Nick Murray, which is quite recent. The first few shows were an absolute... dismal affair, which is where we are now. Thank you for that, Mark.
In fact, you haven't even... I mean, you admitted to me in the beginning that you haven't even put them out there as downloads because you're embarrassed about the drunken state of them.
Yeah, it's
and
really...
And I've just returned you to the core.
Yeah, completely. By the way, there is something that we give to those who aren't on the Two Oceans Vibe list. I'd like to give you your own name, Mark. As you know, there is a list on the Two Oceans Vibe website called the Two Oceans Vibe Characters, and I'd like to welcome you to that. Thank you for joining us. The name that I was thinking for you, if you don't mind, is the Survivor. Ooh. Quite apt. I was thinking that, or the host with the most. You can choose.
Not the Survivor, because there's so much more to me.
The host with the most. Cheers, my boy. Welcome to the family. And it's now 5:52.
And you should be home already.
As we have another sip on Peter Bailey Port on ice, as I lose all capability of speech. And I think we're going to end off with weekend plans, Mark.
Weekend plans, as I said, I'm shooting that commercial on Friday and Saturday. So that's Saturday taken up. And then Sunday is...
When will you be on the road that ends in the middle of nowhere, the highway that ends short in
town? I'm not sure of the sequence that they're shooting in. Chances are it'll probably be on the Saturday. And then Sunday, yeah, just get out of town. I'm not riding the cycle tour.
Get
so
the
I'm
fuck away, people.
Franschhoek on Sunday. I'd just like to say thanks to my cousins, the Sarges, for listening in.
Thank you, Sarges.
Good to have you guys on board.
Tell me something. The roads that are closed. I know I wrote an article on it, and I never actually paid attention. Which roads are closed?
I'm actually not terribly sure. I know that they start in the center of town, and then they head out on...
the fuck show of cyclists.
Like Eastern Boulevard, and then they go the whole way around. Basically, you're landlocked if you're... not on
the Blue Route. Don't they go on the Blue Route?
They go all the way down the Blue Route around...
the Blue Route must be very boring. Straight highway.
Tell you something. When you're on it, there's such a vibe going on that you actually don't even feel like you start pedaling until you get past Cape Point, or in the ones that I've done, that is, anyway.
And once three. Mark Bailey's done three Argus Cycle Tours and a stint on an island.
Which is nothing in the scheme of things. But
5 hours. Must be very boring.
If you can... Go out and stay in the Winelands or somewhere else if you live in Cape Town on Saturday night. Wake up on Sunday morning. Have a fantastic Sunday and come back when all the mayhem's finished. Unless you're actually supporting somebody who's riding, because that's quite
fun. Where will
you
be? Le petit femme.
It depends what time I finish filming on Saturday. But I aim to get out of town as quickly as possible.
Nice one. Mark Bailey, host of Survivor South Africa, 2 years in a row, probably a third year, although we don't know if he will be, and neither does he. And we're going to end up the show with a song by Billy Joel, You May Be Right, which is one of Rupert Mellor's classics. We'll catch you next week, people. Thanks for tuning in. There's been an echo for that entire segment, which is now off. Sorry about that. I hope you're enjoying this non-echo. Thanks for joining us. Catch you next week. I'm sorry that we got so fucked, but such is the...
Hey, we had fun.
We had such good fun.
And it is all about the vibe, people.
It's all about the vibe. Are you a part of the plan or not? It's up to you. This is Billy Joel. You may be right. It's fucking awesome, this song. Just enjoy it.
We're out.
Listen to that. We're out. It's 6:05. Catch you next week. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
say